Hi, this is Karen from Satirion, and you're listening to the SAP Security and GRC podcast with host Dudley Cartwright, helping you on your journey to effective access risk management in SAP. Satirion's GRC Trends Report documents four pivotal insights and predictions that we believe will shape the future of GRC. You're welcome to download a copy from our website, satirion.com. Our podcast will include a four-part series to cover each prediction in more detail. In this episode, we will discuss one of these predictions, the shortage of skilled SAP security resources. We'll be joined by industry experts Maynard Kunin from Bright and Emil Steyn from Satirion. Thank you for joining us.
Maynard, thanks so much for joining us. It's good to have you back on. So I think just getting straight into it, I think as mentioned there, you know, just asking the question then, if there is a shortage of skilled SAP security resources, Maynard, you know, what has caused that? Why have we got to this position now where there is the shortage of skilled resources? We'll also talk then about, you know, what's the impact of that?
Thank you, Dudley. What I see in the last 20 years is that the SAP environment is changing. So in 20 years ago, you had the R3 system and it was very basic and you had to focus on one. What you now see is that SAP is changing its landscape. It's going to cloud. It is Ariba, SuccessFactors. The change of speed is so fast. So it's quite complex to have people trained and having the right skills. And I also think next to that, when you have those specialized guys in the company, how do you retain those guys? So is there a career program for them? It is not your core business. So once you have people educated, how do you retain those guys? I think that's quite challenging.
Yeah, you mentioned there how the SAP landscape's changing a lot, but I think even if we just look at the SAP ECC space, from a security perspective, it's incredibly technical and incredibly complex. So it takes a resource many years to sort of be adequately skilled up that they're competent. You know, it's not a matter of weeks or months. It's unfortunately, it's a matter of years. So often, you think if a consultant, an SAP security consultant, becomes a you know, can lead a project, you know, he's got 5 to 7 years under his belt. So it is one of those things that even before this added complexity of SAP introducing a lot of the cloud products, as well as also the move to S/4HANA with the introduction of Fury, it was an incredibly challenging space before that change to become competent in the space and to become a good security administrator or resource. It took many years of working in the industry. Emil, anything from your side?
Yeah, well, maybe just add one item there. I think we used to joke and say, listen, everybody thinks they're an authorization consultant because everyone always had an opinion on how to handle authorizations or security for that matter. And what you saw, the result of that was that they would be the basis consultant or one of the other functional consultants would also perform the authorization function. And now as it's becoming more specialized, you know, now it's not possible anymore. So now there's that need for people that specialize in security that can actually build those roles specifically for S4 from the ground up and not just copy and paste the SAP business roles. And as we've probably mentioned a few times before, that leads to a number of security issues as well. So we need those dedicated people.
Yeah, and I think companies have learned from previous, you know, implementations where security maybe wasn't a priority. And, you know, as you say, Emil, there a lot of people, the basis consultants, or even sometimes the functioning consultants would be involved with creating roles, etc. But I think everyone's realized that that's not the best approach. More focus and emphasis needs to be put on security, bring in this, have dedicated security professionals guiding you and assisting you throughout the project. Otherwise, there is quite a cost later on that the company then incurs with a bad role design, inappropriate access, you know, increased potential for fraud, you know, et cetera. Yes, everyone now knows that you do need to make sure that there is a skilled resource on site to help you do that. Just maybe one other possible consideration with the shortage of resources, is it not also that we've got this point where there's this perfect storm where not only has SAP got even more complex from a security concept perspective, so it takes even longer to become skilled in that space. But also with this move to S4, a lot of companies are leaning to do that in a very similar time frame. So a lot of companies are all looking for the same type of resources at the same time. That's also a huge challenge where there's a, you know, it's almost like we were in the early 2000s where there was such an uptake of companies implementing SAP, you just couldn't find resources. Where now you've got hundreds and thousands of companies all shifting from, you know, upgrading from ECC to S4 in a very short period of time, which means everyone's fighting for the same resources.
Yeah, and I think due to that, also the impact of those guys are even bigger. You see that you have to comply to many regulations, financial auditors come up with reports. So what you also see is that not only the focus is on doing the authorization work itself, but there's also trends on shifting from the can do. So what can people do in the system to what did they do? And what you also see is that you don't want to do what they did do in a bunch of time. You want to see what did people do all the whole year. So you see also that it is not only the work of the security consultant to configure the security tables as such. It is much broader than that. And I think next to that, you don't talk only about SAP security as authorization security, but you also have security aspects like how do you deal with your ABAP security, with your interface security. So it is much broader than only the SAP authorization security as such.
Yeah, definitely. I think that attack surface is just so much wider now that it's not only application security. There's so many other considerations and a skill set or an understanding of those is also expected of certain security administrators. Or you need multiple specialists within the organization to help make sure that you've got coverage across the entire spectrum. Emil, we've sometimes joke about the fact that, you know, for a lot of the more senior consultants in coming to the sort of twilight zone in their careers, just this move to S4, introduces quite a change from a, you know, sort of security concept perspective, as you have to consider Fury and how that's introduced, you know, with catalogs and spaces and pages, et cetera, you know, and we think, you know, it may be sort of a step too far for some people in their careers to start learning this completely new concept, and they might say, listen, this could be a good time for me to bow out, you know, and not have to get to that. So you also could potentially lose some highly skilled people in this process who don't have the appetite to learn the new security concepts, not only with S4, I guess, and Fury, but also the cloud solutions.
Yeah, definitely. Daddy. I think it's something that's highly underestimated, just the complexity that this has brought. And as you say, even experienced consultants struggle to pick it up. So if companies don't invest in their people and make sure that they are trained properly and understand, you know, all of these technical complexities that have been introduced, then they're going to pay for it later, you know, just copy-pasting from SAP standard or adding wildcards where they don't belong. That can have a potential big impact, not only from authorization perspective, but also, as Maynard mentioned there, that is more to security. You can give wide access to RFC, allowing access from the outside. So there's many different considerations. And fortunately, as we say, the consultants are getting older. I also think that there's not too many young people coming out of school or university that strive to become SAP security people, but potentially few people ending up there.
Maybe that's a good segue then, you know, where you mentioned there some of the mistakes, people are putting wildcards and stars in some of the roles. So maybe this, we now move into the next phase of this podcast. We talk about, we know there's a shortage of skilled resources. So now what is the impact or the cost or the potential challenge that companies now face due to that skilled shortage? You know, I know we've mentioned a few of them already, but maybe, Emil, let's just start with you. If companies don't have the appropriate level of expertise, what are some of the costs that then that will be sort of incurred by them going forward?
So, first of all, I think the one that will hit most companies is the inefficiencies that come with that. So it takes an inexperienced person potentially a lot longer to get the same result than an experienced person. You know, so where you'd often see, you know, a junior person can struggle for days, while you know, a senior person can just take a glance at an issue and point out what the issue is straight away. So I think inefficiencies is a big part of that, but then obviously also mistakes, just because they're not aware of all of the different impacts of a specific value or a specific item. So, you know, how often have we done analysis where we see maybe not a common authorization object that doesn't contain the field activity, but it actually still allows update access, and people just put in wildcards or the wrong value into that.
Yeah. So I suppose a lot of those things then also lead then to mistakes in the administration of the roles, which potentially can lead to inappropriate access being assigned to the users, which could lead to, you know, increased potential for fraud. The companies at a greater exposure from a fraud risk perspective, more unfavorable audit findings. You know, I suppose we could also throw in there that with the, you know, a lack, you know, with skilled resources that lack experience, they also may struggle to define the appropriate role methodologies or the role designs, so then the company's living with an inferior sort of role design for many years, which again could make many other things a challenge, like a user access review. And so the costs of that is making inefficiencies in compliance tasks because, you know, the best methodology wasn't selected, you know, the best role design wasn't selected. Anything else you can think of then associated with, you know, the potential costs then incurred with substandard security resources being involved, either your projects or in the ongoing sort of maintenance or business as usual phase of the business?
Maybe I can add, Dudley, is from a cost perspective, I also you need to think about what the cost of compliance. You can say everything about the concept and about do you do the right things. At the other hand, once you don't have a right concept or you don't maintain it, at the end of the year, then you do the audits, then you see the different high priority security aspects popping up. So I think that it is not only about the cost. I think it's all about what can people do and what's the risk of fraud in the system, and that's probably even worse than only the cost aspect.
Yeah, that's true. Good point, yeah. Then, you know, we've spoken about why is there a shortage. We've also now mentioned a case of what is the challenge or the cost associated with the skills shortage. So now moving on to, you know, what is the solution or what is a possible solution? So in our trends report, we highlighting or identifying that we think that the introduction or the, you know, making use of a service provider in a managed service capacity could be a good answer, a good solution to this. Emil and I and the Sutin team have always argued that the SAP authorization sort of administration function is something that lends itself quite well, we believe, to an outsourced model. You can ask someone else to assist with it. The company organization can still retain all ownership of it. You know, they do all the approvals, etc. So they don't lose control from that aspect, but they can get sort of more sort of dedicated teams that specialize in that space to administer and look after the authorization solution on their behalf. Mandot, maybe just throwing it out to you, you know, do you see that as a good solution to the skill shortage, that companies can start looking at sort of a managed service offering? Can you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it honestly, it can be the solution, but I think there's one but, and that's the reason, and that's the business. To my extent, it is the business who is in the lead. Once you outsource and business does not take the accountability of security and about security SODs, etc., then only outsourcing the maintenance of your authorization, it will not succeed. So basically, the business has to go first. But once you have a business wants to be compliant and wants to have a cost-effective authorization concept, and you have a shortage in your the maintenance of that, then you can think about outsourcing. And of course, many companies do, and that's not only because they want to, but that's more they need to, and that's because of the fact that they don't need a full-time resource, they need audit support, they need support for different systems. So it's not very easy to have one dedicated resource full-time on your payroll to manage everything, basically.
Yeah. So I think that you mentioned two very interesting points. As one is, if an organization does look at a sort of managed service outsourced offering for this, it's not them losing ownership of it. The business still needs to retain the accountability of all things sort of SAP security and risk. It's not about them passing that on to, you know, another service provider to perform those functions. They will do the administration functions of that. So from a technical aspect, they'll do the role builds, the role assignments, etc., and do that technically correct, but all of those activities will be only done on, you know, on business approval. And so maybe that also just shows the importance of possibly the organization also needing to have some form of access control solution, that there is the way in which business can be participate in those SAP access change requests, that all changes are still approved by business. Business are approving those with some visibility as to what the risk impact is, et cetera. Maybe also another benefit of the company having an access control solution, if they move to a managed service provider, is it allows them to also monitor the managed service provider also to make sure that those guys are building roles technically correct and that they're not making mistakes and, you know, putting stars or wildcards in and the risk count is jumping through the roof. But maybe the other point that you mentioned there, Amanda, that you know, thought is very interesting, is that you mentioned there that a lot of the activities that are needed in the SAP security space, some of them require a very sort of high level of expertise, but those activities are not needed in 8 hours a day. A company needs them from time to time, and then a lot of the time the business can run, you know, with a resource that's maybe not as skilled with that. So that's where the managed service model, I think, does work quite well, because a lot of the time, if you're looking for a very skilled resource, the managed service provider will have that, possibly have that senior resource there. You can use that expertise for 1 hour to help you with a particular mini project or a challenge. And then once that's resolved, then the resources who are not as skilled can continue with it. So where it's quite a challenge for the organization to have that skill set in-house all the time. You know, from a cost perspective, it doesn't make sense, etc. So that's one aspect where the managed service sort of offering does make a bit of sense.
Yeah, and probably to add is, once we start with the sourcing capabilities, we always start with a kind of assessment on the governance. And just to us, very important that we identify all the important roles and that all roles are assigned to one of people with either within the business or within Bright, because once you want to play the game, you need all the people on the field, and one of those people is not there, then they then cannot play the game. I think that's the one of the prerequisites of having the outsourcing there. And the second thing I think what's very important is that outsourcing is not only about changing roles or use assignments, but there's everything also to do with, if you have GRC technology, for example, Certirion, you also need to maintain the GRC rule set, and you need to maintain the GRC tool. So it is, and the last one, I think, and this is also a very important role, is once you have your authorizations there and you have GRC tooling there, what about reporting? And you want to demonstrate to your stakeholders that you're clean. You want to demonstrate it to your auditors, to your stakeholders. So I think it is more than only doing the authorization, which is always quite difficult, but you need to have more capabilities than only that, I think.
Yeah. No. And I think, Amanda, you mentioned earlier, you know, that also this access risk is business risk. And so I think when you make use of a managed service provider that's got some access to some very senior, you know, skill sets or expertise, a lot of the time the business don't take ownership of access risk because they don't understand it. So if you've got someone who's got a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience, and they can articulate or explain to the business, you know, what that SOD risk is or how that control works, there's more chance or more likelihood that the business then take ownership the more they understand it. So I think having access to that skilled expertise to help also educate the business users on the risks and the controls, et cetera, also will help that organization then, you know, be able to get the business users to become sort of responsible, accountable for that and not. So again, maybe just the value of having that access to that highly skilled expertise when you need it. And I think the managed service provider does have access to that type of resources.
Right. So I think what we'll also maybe just, there might be a perception sometimes that, you know, getting a managed service provider could be more expensive. But, you know, I think you'd argue that you actually can save a lot of money because keeping hold of these super experienced and skilled consultants becomes very expensive for a company. And with the changing technologies to get a person to train up, they also run the risk of losing that person to a different company. So having a managed service provider that keeps those skills on hand and it's readily available to me as an organization, I think is very valuable. So I think there's actually a big cost saving to that as well. You don't need to have those, as you all both mentioned, you don't need to have that person on full time.
Yeah, and I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I think such a good point that, you know, that it is a cost saving because that expertise, that sort of highly skilled expert is sitting on the managed service provider working on multiple clients where an individual company seldom has the luxury of having that skill set in all those domains.
I think the cost, the business case of the cost is bigger than only the cost of the managed service. We talked earlier about the costs of doing not first things right, so that you have to redo things, and this one. Secondly, you also have to think about what we talk about, the cost of redoing things in the business. People cannot have access. And the last one is, I think, that is the compliance cost, so and the cost of fraud. So I think you need to think broader than only the costs of resources to calculate business case in such a way.
So I think maybe just then, we've been sort of promoting or punting the idea of managed service or out service, the concept. But I guess we also need to just maybe mention that not all outsourced managed service providers are created equal. You know, so if you're not dealing with a boutique security sort of consulting house, you may not find those expertise in-house that you are looking for. I think it is important to say, yes, managed service or outsourcing of your security and your GRC can really work, but please make sure that your service provider does have that necessary in-house expertise. Maybe you can just spend a few minutes just talking a little bit about Bright and some of the services that you offer.
Of course, you don't want to explain what kind of service we offer. So we always start with a kind of governance assessment. To us, it's very important that all roles which are important with the stay clean activities are there. And I think next to that, we make agreements on what kind of services needed. Are they the first line support services, or is it even the more complex second line services like role maintenance and the GRC maintenance? And the last, what's very important to us is what kind of model do you need? Do you need a fixed amount of hours, or do you want to have 40 hours a week? And the last one is, do you also, in what kind of system do you want to work with? Do you want to work in the Bright systems, or do we need to integrate in yours? So I think that are basically the main key points in discussing, okay, how can we work together? And for each company, it differs on how it can help.
Perfect. Well, thanks for that. We know Bright, we've got some very good, very skilled resources. So yeah, we'll reach out to them if anyone needs some assistance. Good. Okay. So I think from our side, that then covers the first podcast of the Trends series. So thank you everyone for joining us. The podcast 2 or the trend number 2 will be out soon. To Emil and to Mandat, guys, thank you very much for joining us. It's been good chatting.
It's a pleasure.